This podcast is brought to you by my new book, Mass Corruption. The special pre-order discount ends this Sunday, September 28th. To order, go to HowieCarshow.com and click store.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
You either have grace or you don't.
Read Grace's work in The Spectator and see her recommended reading at GraceCurleyShow.com.
She's got to take a drug test. There's no way somebody can act that way and be normal.
Now, here's the millennial with the mic.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley, host of the Grace Curley Show.
Grace. Grace Curley.
Grace!
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show, 844-500-4242. Jennifer Bendery, never really heard of her before. She works for the Huffington Post. She's a, you know, a reporter, reports on Congress, the White House, political campaigns for Huffington Post. 10 minutes ago, repost something from DHS Secretary Kristi Noem. And Jennifer Bendery says DHS Secretary Kristi Noem jumping at the chance to blame violence on the, quote, far left, when there are scant details on what happened here, except that no ICE agents were harmed and immigrants were victims. Oh, boy. That sounds like what that late night TV show host said last week. Blaming it on MAGA. She thinks that this is anti-immigrant crime. That the shooter was purposely aiming at the detainees and trying to kill them. It was an unmarked van, by the way. So, and I would imagine tinted, as most federal vehicles are. There have been no pictures of the van that I've seen yet. But she would have you believe that this was a MAGA hat wearing Republican sitting on top of a roof, again with a 30-06 rifle, shooting at illegal, taking pot shots at illegal aliens. Which again does not make sense to me. They're already in ICE custody. That's all we want. That's all we want. ICE is doing their job. We're letting them do their job and getting them out of the country. But she would have you believe that this is a right-leaning than a left-leaning suspect. And this is an hour and a half after FBI Director Kash Patel released the photograph of the bullet casings, the actual bullets in their casings found near the suspect, his body, engraved with the words anti-ICE. And Jennifer Bendery still can't put it together. I give these people way too much grace. Way too much grace. Andy Ngo, as you know, is an independent journalist, and he has done extensive research and reporting on Antifa. And he just posted this. This is something that a group called Crime Think has been putting out. He says Crime Think is one of the largest and most influential Antifa organizing sites. And they released a guide explaining how Antifa and their co-conspirators organize to target the U.S. government. And it's called 7 Steps to Stop ICE. Number one is to form resistance groups. It says form tight-knit groups, focus on communications, intelligence gathering, fundraising. Step number two is to establish community assemblies. Bring together formal groups, community networks, and other concerned individuals to share information, coordinate campaigns. Step three is to build a communication system. Sounds like a terrorist organization to me. Democrats say that this is just a figment of my imagination, what I'm reading to you. Literature from a domestic terrorist organization is apparently, I'm just making it up. Step three, build a communication system. Spreading information immediately to large numbers of people about the operations of ICE and other federal mercenaries in your community. I would imagine that in most large cities, especially in the downtown districts, I was walking through downtown New Bedford a few weeks ago, actually earlier this summer, And I noticed all of these anti-ICE posters hanging up in almost all of the shops in downtown New Bedford. And they wonder why, you know, half of the place is empty. And it's all anti-ICE messaging, what to do if you see ICE officers. And it's very, very off-putting. Very, very... And this is probably where it comes from, is some sort of Antifa outlet, some Antifa-associated organization, because that sounds like the hallmarks of this, these instructions here. Number four, strategize and set a combative example. Map the infrastructure and support institutions that ICE depends on. Publicize their vulnerabilities. Impose consequences. Popularize simple, reproducible ways to impose consequences every time that ICE inflicts harm on a community. Boy, that sounds like a lot like what happened today. A man was sitting on the roof, waiting for an opportunity, and he shot into the sally port of an ICE detention center, or an ICE facility where they were processing detainees. He took advantage of vulnerabilities. Step five, compel local politicians to break off cooperation with federal authorities. Let them know the consequences of cooperating with ICE, whether actively or passively. And the consequences must be worse than the consequences of not doing so. Step six, create no-go zones for federal forces. If ICE agents hesitate to enter certain areas without backing from police, National Guard, and Marines, that will limit their operations. The more resources they have to commit to every raid, the fewer attacks they will be able to carry out, and the more expensive their power grab will be. Make them afraid to do their jobs. Make them afraid to be out in public. Make them afraid to respond to even routine. Arresting illegal immigrants should be routine. But even before, in the Biden times, it would have been considered routine for ICE, making them afraid to do that. And step seven was to create mutual aid networks. Support those who have lost family members to ICE abductions. Create collective habits of care. To sustain each other through the crises ahead. That's the Antifa playbook laid out for you. There's literature. This is an organization. It's a domestic terror organization. 844-500-4242. Dave, thanks for hanging on. You're next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Dave.
Hey, thanks. With regard to Antifa and ICE, I've had more run-ins with Antifa than I have with ICE, and they're very anti-free speech, and I don't like them either. But I got to tell you, I'm more afraid. Like, I'm visiting Colorado Springs right now, and just the other day, ICE disappeared something like 85 people in one night, and we couldn't find them. Like, no one could, the press couldn't find them. No one knew where they were. And we're forced to pay ICE's salary. And so I'm.
What do you mean, Dave? Let's be clear about what we're saying here. What do you mean by disappeared 85 people in what night? One night. What happened?
Well, they didn't kill them. I don't think any of them died.
Okay.
But they just, there was like a nightclub raid. They seized 85 people they suspected of being illegal immigrants.
Oh, that was that MS-13 run nightclub in Colorado Springs.
Well, whatever it was.
No, it's not whatever it was. That's a legitimate, you know, that's an organization in itself. That's a terrorist organization, MS-13. You've got gang association with a nightclub and a bunch of illegal immigrants. That's just something we want taking place, and that's something we're going to promote in the community. They weren't disappeared. They were deported.
We want innocent until proven guilty. That's what we want.
No, Dave, they broke into the country. Do you just, if somebody cuts in line ahead of people that are waiting due process, do you just ask them why they did that and let them go and continue to eat out of the trough ahead of everybody else that decided to wait in line patiently? Or do you send them back and make them go through due process? That's the due process, is coming in legally.
The federal government accuses them of being these things. They're not proven. And
no, they are proven. If you don't have documentation saying that you came in legally, you're proven to be here illegally.
Papers, please. I mean, the government accuses them of this. It's the same government that accused your friends of being January 6th insurgents when they were just carrying signs. You can't trust the federal government.
Oh, please, Dave. It's not even the same thing. That's a very poor argument.
The federal government runs torture chambers. Don't believe a word they say about anything.
All right. Thanks very much for the call. Very, very eloquent. 844-500-4242. What is it with the Daves calling in? We had David yesterday. We got Dave today. I don't know. Something in the air with Daves and Davids. 844-500-4242. When we come back, I want to get into the what was put on ABC last night. Maybe not around here, but actually probably around here. ABC, Disney, let Jimmy Kimmel back on the air, and there was nothing set in stone about what he was going to say. People assumed that there would be an apology. I didn't think there would be. I said yesterday that I think he's going to give the middle finger to Trump, which he did in a manner of speaking. I thought he was going to say, I'm not apologizing, or something to that effect, and I was partially right, but he had some decorum about it in what he said. So we'll get to those cuts. We'll get to the poll question that revolves around last night's appearance by Jimmy Kimmel, his unsuspension, and all of that. Coming up in just a bit, I'm Taylor Cormier. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on X at @G_Curley. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show, 844-500-4242. He actually did it. Crazy son of a bitch actually did it. Donald Trump. That was a quote from Jurassic Park, by the way. Donald Trump, he had joked a while back. In fact, We had a journalist on a few weeks ago talking about her interview with President Trump in the White House. That was the day that everybody thought he died, and she was able to prove that it wasn't true. And she asked about the Rose Garden, and she kind of joked. She said, "What are you?" Because he said, "We're going to put up, you know, all the president's pictures in the Rose Garden, kind of, you know, in a protected cove area, this walkway, and the newly renovated Rose Garden, and put up all of the presidential portraits. Call it the Presidential Walk of Fame." She said, "What are you going to put up for Biden's picture, the auto pen?" And he laughs and he shows her the framed picture of the auto pen, and he says, "I don't think we're going to do it. We're thinking about it. I guess the joke is out, right? We can't do it now." But Margo Martin, who travels with the president, one of the aides, she just put out a video. And yeah, there are all the presidents, all the portraits. There's Reagan, H.W., Clinton, W., Obama, Trump, Otto Penn, and Trump again. The ultimate revenge. It's too good. 844-500-4242. David, you're next on The Grace Curley Show. David, can you redeem your name? A lot of crazy David's been calling in.
Well, let's see. I see a Goliath, and his name is Democrat. Taylor, you know, the Democrats the past 4 years have allowed gang members, drug dealers, pedophiles, rapists to come in here dealing with sex slavery and everything else. And now suddenly the Democrats are concerned about ICE. After they let these killers live amongst us, you know, then you got Governor Newsom and Tim Walz encouraging through their speech riotous behavior against ICE. So this last call you just had, deep that just called about. He's concerned with that. Whether they was he that these 80 disappeared by ICE. He doesn't think they killed. Was he concerned about? Remember the 14,000 Haitians under the bridge in Texas that were there, and overnight the Joe Biden administration got rid. No one even knew where they were. They just got them out of there. Does David think they killed them? Not a question.
Well, how about the hundreds of thousands of children that disappeared under the Biden administration? We've recovered tens of thousands of them, but we're still working to find out where they are. Eventually, we found out that some of them were working on a marijuana plant, a plantation in California under Gavin Newsom's tutelage.
Exactly. And then if you go to Logan Airport today, which is mostly run by Democrats, they're going to ask you, if you're going to take a flight, Terminal E, they're going to ask you for your passport. So David's saying papers. Yeah, they're going to ask you for your passport and your visa, either coming or going to this country. And that Logan Airport, there's a lot of Democrats there, David. So he's being disingenuous, implying that it's Nazi tactics.
I don't buy the due process argument, and David, neither should you, because the due process is when you come into this country. That's what it's there for. When you come into this country legally, you're provided with documentation saying that you did it the right way. You don't have it. You don't have that sticker. Like a bouncer at a nightclub, we're going to throw you out. You don't have that stamp on your hand. You are gone.
Exactly. Exactly. He's not a member of the team. You don't get the uniform. Whether if you come here legally, you're supposed to have the visa. If you're a citizen, you're entitled to due process. The only due process that they're entitled to if they come here legally is a process to get the hell out of the country. Come here legally and stop letting killers live amongst us, Democrats. They've done it. Now we got a major problem. We got a major problem in this country because they're acting out violently against our law enforcement, against our citizens. And we get a huge problem. It's created by the Democrats allowing these killers to live amongst us. Rapists, killers, sex slavery, the whole gamut, pouring across the border.
Yeah, it's awful. Thanks very much for the call, David. Glad you were able to redeem your name on the Grace Curley Show today. This was a weird story. So yesterday we saw Trump give his speech at the UN, and he complained about the teleprompter, and he complained about the escalator. I hadn't seen the escalator video till I got home last night, and it did seem very intentional. As soon as Melania and Trump stepped onto the escalator, it came to a cold, dead stop. And it was very alarming to see the Secret Service just kind of, what's going on? What happened? They didn't, like, draw guns or anything. They didn't look up to see if there was a potential threat. They weren't. They were like,
hey, how do you turn this thing back on?
And eventually, Trump and Melania just walked up the escalator, the broken escalator. Broken escalator is a staircase, right? So Caroline Leavitt, she puts out, if someone at the UN intentionally stopped the escalator as the president and first lady were stepping on, they need to be fired and investigated immediately. The London Times reported this on Sunday, and this is a quote out of the London Times. Quote, to mark Trump's arrival, UN staff members have joked that they may turn off the escalators and elevators and simply tell him they ran out of money, so he has to walk up the stairs. Again, it seemed very intentional the moment they stepped on the elevator. But the UN has done their own independent investigation into what happened. Do you know who they blamed, Matt?
Donald Trump?
Pretty much, yeah. They blamed his photographer, his videographer. They claim that there is a safety function on the escalator. UN spokesperson Stephanie Dujarric explained that a readout of the escalator's central processing unit showed the system had stopped after a built-in safety mechanism on the comb step was triggered at the top of the escalator. They added the videographer may have inadvertently triggered the safety function. The safety mechanism is designed to prevent people or objects accidentally being caught and stuck in or pulled in to the gearing. And I believe they also said it was because he was standing backwards on the escalator. I'm not buying any of that. And if you look, the videographer's halfway up the escalator when it stops. He's caught by it too. Strange. We'll be back. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
So So obviously, the escalator at the UN for Trump was not his only technical problem. There was an issue with the teleprompter as well. We played that sound cut yesterday. Caroline Leavitt was on Fox with Jesse Waters last night. And, you know, to hear the left talk about this, you'd think that Caroline Leavitt is some sort of mastermind of conspiracy theories, when the obvious conclusion that anybody would come up with is, if there's reporting in the London Times that UN staffers were joking about stopping the escalator and elevators and forcing Trump to take the stairs, that may have been what happened. And she goes on to say that she thinks that there was possibly more sabotage. As Grace would say, there were saboteurs in the UN. Cut 11.
Well, Jesse, that's definitely what it appears to be to me. And that's why I put out a statement earlier. Well, there was some concerning reporting over the weekend from the London Times, as you pointed out, that UN globalist staffers were basically plotting to set up the president of the United States. And first it was the escalator, then it was the teleprompter, and then Katie Pavlich from Town Hall, who we offered a seat in the press pool to cover the president's historic speech today, noticed that the audio inside of the room was much lower and different for the president of the United States than the previous speaker. So when you put all of this together, it doesn't look like a coincidence to me. And I know that we have people, including the United States Secret Service, who are looking into this to try to get to the bottom of it. And if we find that these were UN staffers who were purposefully trying to trip up, literally trip up, the president and the first lady of the United States, well, there better be accountability for those people. And I will personally see to it, Jesse.
Good.
It is bizarre. The explanation again from the UN was it was the White House videographer who got almost caught up in the top of the escalator. You know, where you fear as a child you're going to get sucked in, that part. And they said he was stopped there. And then they went on to say, according to UN officials, the videographer accompanying Trump and First Lady was moving backwards on the escalator to capture footage of their arrival. This likely caused the safety mechanism to activate, stopping the escalator to prevent accidents. But earlier they said that he hit a safety mechanism or switch on the comb step or something like that. In any event, I've never heard of an escalator on which you ride stopping because you turn around. I've never seen that. Have you, Matt?
As someone who's been on a lot of escalators going to a lot of things, no, I've seen people standing backwards, sideways, looking forward, walking up them like they're stairs while they're still moving. Never seen them just stop because of that.
You heard it from him. Matt, a man who's been on a lot of escalators and has gone to a lot of things.
A lot of things.
Matt
so
loves,
many things.
Matt loves to go on escalators.
It's probably top 10.
Absolutely. Absolutely. How could it not be? I've never seen that where you go on. And there's always safety switches on these escalators, right? Like emergency stop buttons. And that's what I immediately thought of when the UN came out with their explanation as to what happened. That the videographer was standing backwards, so he couldn't see the emergency stop button. And he accidentally hit that. Well, first of all, those stop buttons, they're covered in a plastic cover, like a fire alarm. You've got to pull up the cover, then pull down the handle on a fire alarm. It's like the same thing on an escalator.
Also, and I could be wrong a lot, aren't those like
Matt,
located?
Matt loves to be wrong.
Yes. Aren't those located on like the outside of
right,
where they would be?
Like at the top rail.
So how is he going to hit that from the
I don't know. But they're saying that he was at the top, and he may not have hit a button, but he was like frozen in place and was in danger of jamming up the escalator and getting sucked into it, you know, as you fear as a child. But I looked at the video. He's nowhere near the top. It's not the biggest escalator in the world. It's very short. They go up one flight, but it's not. He's stuck right there in the middle. It doesn't make any sense to me. Let's do our poll question today. I want to get through these Jimmy Kimmel cuts. I don't really want to talk about Jimmy Kimmel anymore because he got his airtime last night. He's back on, whatever. He's going to do what he does. It's nonsense. And the people that are going to watch it are going to watch it, all 126,000 of them. Today's poll question is brought to you by Local Silver Mint, located in Ware, New Hampshire. Silver Dave will work with you directly. Contact him at localsilvermint.com. Matt, what is today's poll question, and what are the results thus far?
And you can vote in the poll question by going to gracecurlyshow.com. How would you describe Jimmy Kimmel's monologue last night? Apologetic or gaslighting?
Gaslighting.
Gaslighting still has 100%.
100%. That's 100%. Rare that we get, we'll get 99 to 1, but 100% is that's amazing. So this is how he started out last night. He, you know, cracked a few jokes. He did the cliche. I didn't pull it, but it was so cliche for him to come back on and say, as I was saying before I was rudely interrupted, oh, ha, ha, very clever, Jimmy Kimmel. You know, this is the kind of humor that attracts, you know, tens of people to his show every night. This is how he started Cut 15.
A lot about what I need to say and do tonight. And the truth is, I don't think what I have to say is going to make much of a difference. If you like me, you like me. If you don't, you don't. I have no illusions about changing anyone's mind. But I do want to make something clear because it's important to me as a human. And that is, you understand that it was never my intention to make light of the murder of a young man. I don't think there's anything funny about it. I posted a message on Instagram on the day he was killed, sending love to his family and asking for compassion, and I meant it. I still do.
He never meant to make light of the murder of a young man, as he gets choked up and saying that, stopping short of saying he's sorry. He never meant to make light of the murder of a young man. I'm not saying he was making light of the murder of a young man. He was wrongfully accusing the conservative right of creating a world in which one of us shoots one of our own and kills them, assassinates them. For what cause, what purpose, I don't know. It wasn't explained by Jimmy Kimmel. But he goes on. This is probably the most enraging comment that he made. Cut 16.
Nor was it my intention to blame any specific group for the actions of what it was obviously a deeply disturbed individual. That was really the opposite of the point I was trying to make. But I understand that to some that felt either ill-timed or unclear or maybe both. And for those who think I did point a finger, I get why you're upset. If the situation was reversed, there's a good chance I'd have felt the same way.
Can you just play that first part for me again? I just want to get my thoughts together on that first part he said. Go ahead.
Nor was it my intention to blame any specific group for the actions of what it was obviously a deeply disturbed individual. That was really the opposite of the point I was trying to make.
All right, stop right there. How was that the opposite of the point he was trying to make when he clearly said that MAGA was trying to defend ourselves from identifying the shooter from anything other than what they were? A MAGA shooter, basically, is what he was saying. That's not a direct quote, but it's close enough. How is that the opposite of what he was trying to say? Was it opposite day over at ABC when he was making these comments? I don't understand. And then he goes into the classic. This is the gaslighting. He goes into the classic, you know, if you took this the wrong way, that's on you. That's not me. I've dealt with this. I've had girlfriends say that, oh, I'm so sorry that you took that way. I'm so sorry that made you feel that way. It's disguised as an apology, but it's no, you're the one that is misinterpreting this. Never was the case. And that's why they were old girlfriends and not my current wife. Never the case. And that's exactly what Jimmy Kimmel was doing. I'm sorry you felt that way, except he didn't even say I'm sorry. He does not apologize in this entire half hour screed that he did last night. And then he plays the ultimate gaslighting card, where he goes into, I know that this happened, but you also have to think about what's happened to me. Cut 17.
Well, I don't think the murderer who shot Charlie Kirk represents anyone. This was a sick person.
Stop right there. Stop right there. I don't think that the murderer who killed Charlie Kirk represents anyone. That's not what the murderer of Charlie Kirk wanted you to think, because they etched into bullets all this Antifa messaging, this trans messaging, the furry messaging, all of this stuff to make you exactly identify who they represent and what ideology they represent and what they stand for politically and socially. And they were anti-fascist, Antifa. They were members of the LGBTQ plus community. They hated their that they came from a right-leaning family, and they were extremely radicalized by the Democratic Socialists on their college campus. It's they wanted you to know that. That's not me projecting that. They wanted us to know that. Continue with the cut.
Well, I don't think the murderer who shot Charlie Kirk represents anyone. This was a sick person who believed violence was a solution, and it isn't. Ever. And also, selfishly, I am a person who gets a lot of threats. I get many ugly and scary threats against my life, my wife, my kids, my coworkers, because of what I choose to say. And I know those threats don't come from the kind of people on the right who I know and love. So that's what I wanted to say on that subject. But I don't want to make this about me, because, and I know this is what people say when they make things about them.
This is such a narcissist. He's all about himself. I'll give him the credit, though. He started out saying selfishly, I also get a lot of death threats. That's the ultimate go-to for somebody of his stature, as diminished as it is, to say, well, that's the ultimate, like, one-upmanship of somebody of celebrity status. Well, how many death threats do you get? It's a game that people play. How many death threats did you get this week? I got 4. Oh, really? I got 5. That's up from 3 last week. It's a game they play. They think it's funny, and they don't take it seriously. But now he wants us to take it seriously because he's had death threats in the past. This wasn't about you, Jimmy. This was about Charlie Kirk, and this was about what you said about the suspect, the assassin that killed Charlie Kirk. And then he further gaslights the United States, the viewership. Can't say the United States. I don't know how many millions of people were watching last night, but it wasn't the entire population and never will be even close. Cut 18.
This puts them at risk. The president of the United States made it very clear he wants to see me and the hundreds of people who work here fired from our jobs. Our leader celebrates Americans losing their livelihoods.
Pause right there. What company did Jimmy Kimmel celebrate when he wanted all of them fired? He wanted the stock to tank, and he wanted the company to go bankrupt. Tesla, right? An American company producing American products. But, oh, we can't take joy in his show crumbling. We didn't want an entire network to crumble. But we wanted to see him take it off the air. And all of those producers at ABC that work on a show, all those writers, they find other jobs. There's always plenty of jobs for writers. Jimmy Kimmel would have had to find a new gig. But, all right, continue with the cut, because he says more.
Americans losing their livelihoods because he can't take a joke.
What was the joke? The joke was, there was no joke. There was no punchline. There was no laughter. I don't have to pull the cut that he said last Monday. There was no laughter after he said what he said, because it wasn't a joke. There was no punchline. And it wasn't even directed at the president. It was directed at his supporters. It was directed at people associated with his campaign. So again, gaslighting to make you think that the problem was not what he said, it's what the president thought about what he said. And he finishes off, again, the ultimate in non-apologies. This guy is the king. Cut 19.
Over the weekend, a very beautiful moment. I don't know if you saw this. On Sunday, Erica Kirk forgave the man who shot her husband. She forgave him. That is an example we should follow. Yeah. If you believe in the teachings of Jesus, as I do, there it was. That's it. A selfless act of grace, forgiveness from a grieving widow. It touched me deeply, and I hope it touches many. And if there's anything we should take from this tragedy to carry forward, I hope it can be that, not this.
I do. I also, Jimmy, believe in the teachings of Jesus, which is why I will say I do forgive you. I do forgive you for what you said about MAGA supporters. But it's also incumbent on you, according to you, to ask for forgiveness as well. This is Jimmy Kimmel in 2022. He's talking about Donald Trump Jr., and others who were talking about the illegal alien that attacked Paul Pelosi in his house with a hammer. This is what Jimmy Kimmel had to say about some of the alleged misinformation that got out about that suspect. Cut 14.
When an apology isn't even offered, these people are supposed to be Christians. I am a Catholic. I grew up in the church. What I was taught was that if you do something wrong, you ask for forgiveness and you are forgiven for these things. The idea that that it would be anything other than that, that these people who are allegedly following the teachings of Jesus would behave in this way, it doesn't make any sense at all. And I just can't understand how that works for so many people, so many Americans.
You know, Howie says it a lot. Samuel Johnson said, patriotism is the last refuge of a scoundrel. For Jimmy Kimmel, it's religion. It's something that I don't see him practice. I'm not going to question his beliefs. I'm not going to question what he holds fast to, but take your own medicine, dude. 844-500-4242. We'll come back. We've got Howie Carr and the Carr Crossover coming up. I'm Taylor Cormier, and this is The Grace Curley Show.
Watch the show live. Rumble.com/The Grace Curley Show. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Today's Carr Crossover is brought to you by Tux Trucks GMC. Get a $7,500 EV lease incentive on a new GMC Hummer SUV, GMC Hummer pickup, or GMC Sierra EV now at Tux Trucks GMC in Hudson, Mass. Costco members can also save up to $1,250. Learn more at TuxTrucksGMC.com. That's TuxTrucksGMC.com. Howie, what do we know about the shooter in Dallas at the ICE facility?
He's dead.
Yes, we do know that. But is he confirmed Antifa? Do we know yet?
No, I don't think we know. I've been Googling it, but I don't think anybody's come up with anything specific.
Seems to have ties, though. Like he had some communist imagery.
He looks Antifa. I don't know if I would have probable cause as a police officer, but to make a stop. But
arrested once for dealing marijuana. Looks like his sister has been arrested multiple times. Don't have a list of...
What city is he from?
I'm not sure what city he's from just yet, but his sister has been arrested in Dallas, Bell, Texas, Collin, Texas, at least
she's
six
a regular
times.
Bonnie Parker.
Yeah, she's... And it's it's just awful. But I mean, it's no secret what the
how
motivation.
Ironic that he hates ICE and he kills two illegal aliens.
Exactly. This one was a bad shot. Howie's up next. Stay tuned. This is The Grace Curley Show.